If you're a firearms owner, and especially if you carry concealed, we invite you to enroll in a membership with our partner, the United States Concealed Carry Association, at uscca.com. The USCCA is more than 700,000 Americans from every faith, political stance, and walk of life, spanning multiple demographics. They provide life-saving education and industry-leading training, some of which comes in the form of our firearms and mental health videos that we have recently produced and which will be made available to the membership over the next 12 months. We recommend that you obtain self-defense liability insurance available through Delta Defense and the USCCA so that if you find yourself in an act of lawful self-defense, you will be prepared for what happens before, during, and after that incident. With the common mission of saving lives, Walk the Talk America is proud to partner with the USCCA and Delta Defense, and we invite you to check out all they have to offer at uscca.com.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey Purified Water. The Berkey guy provides the lowest priced filtration systems in every size for incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency. Get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
Supply chains are the lifeblood of business. It's time to learn to lead in this in-demand field. The Ohio State University Fisher College of Business offers an online Master of Supply Chain Management degree. This new program builds on their reputation in supply chain management and business education. Each online class blends self-paced live learning and immersive classes. Earn your Master of Supply Chain Management degree in as little as 15 months. Visit go.osu.edu/MSCM to learn more. The Ohio State University Fisher College of Business, where principled leaders are created.
In the early 1900s, certain companies were off-gassing highly toxic fluoride gases into the atmosphere. The surrounding communities began to get sick. Laws were enacted to compel these corporations to install scrubbers to convert these gases into fluorosilicic acid. Still highly toxic, but containable. Now these companies had a stockpile of this poison, and there was no affordable way to dispose of it. Lucky for them, one of their major stockholders was also the Secretary of the Treasury, who was responsible for the Public Health Service at the time. And by 1950, the U.S. government began buying this toxic, untreated industrial waste product and dumping it into our drinking water. Reputable studies show that it's causing various cancers and other disease. With the Alexa Pure Pro, you can have clean drinking water and a remedy to this madness. Available now at InfoWarsStore.com.
It's easy to see. We're being conned by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media is distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the harsh realities facing American families. We all know something big is coming. And that's why so many folks are preparing. They're becoming more self-reliant by investing in emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. My Patriot Supply is the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, and they make it easy for you to prepare. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure some emergency food kits. There's a dozen to choose from that contain tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. My Patriot Supply also sells large solar generators, gravity-powered water filtration systems, heirloom seeds for your garden, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m. and your items will ship that same day. Time is short. Prepare today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
They call the Kentucky Derby the most exciting 2 minutes in sports. But what precedes it is a full week of once-in-a-lifetime. Wake up to Dawn at the Downs and race until the stars come out at opening night. Win, place, and show off Louisville on 5-0 Tuesday. Celebrate where greatness is born and raised at Champions Day. And at Derby, tradition always reigns. Don't miss the celebration that's 150 years in the racing. Derby Week 2024. Thrilling awaits. Learn more at KentuckyDerby.com.
Now's your chance to get the last of the Resolution Radio Blood Tees. Only a few left available before we try to do a reorder. This has been a high-selling item, and we really appreciate everyone's support in getting this shirt and showing their pride as well as showing their heritage. Nothing counts more than blood. Get yours today from Resolution Radio. Only $25 plus $5 shipping and handling. It really helps the network improve and you really get a great product to showcase what you truly believe in. Nothing counts more than blood. Only from Resolution Radio at resolutionrdo.com. Send check, money order, or well-concealed cash to Sonny Thomas at P.O. Box 27, Springboro, Ohio, 45066. That's Sonny Thomas at P.O. Box 27, Springboro, Ohio, 45066.
You're listening to Resolution Radio. ResolutionRDO.com.
Welcome to American Dissident Voices. I'm Kevin Alfred Strom. On today's program, I'm going to present something very special. When the racial patriot and scientist William Shockley invented the transistor more than half a century ago, bringing the entire electronics and computer industries into existence, he set in motion a series of great advances that no one could have anticipated at the time. One of those advances is the ability with artificial intelligence to awaken the tongues of men long dead and allow them to speak in their own voices the words they wrote for posterity. Of course, this advance can be used for evil and to deceive, as the proliferation of deep fakes on social media proves. But we use it today for good, to bring the voice of Dr. William Luther Pierce to life, with his very own words, on a topic he regarded as one of the most important of all time, the life and works of Adolf Hitler. So now, an entirely new audio presentation of William Luther Pierce's The Measure of Greatness. Listen.
April 20 is the anniversary of the birth of the greatest man of our era, a man who dared more and achieved more, who set his aim higher and climbed higher, who felt more deeply and stirred the souls of those around him more mightily, who was more closely attuned to the life force which permeates our cosmos and gives it meaning and purpose, and did more to serve that life force than any other man of our times. And yet he is the most reviled and hated man of our times. Only a few tens of thousands of men and women in scattered groups around the world will celebrate his birthday with love and reverence on April 20th, while all of the scribblers and commentators of the controlled news media, the controlled politicians, and the controlled churchmen will pour out their hatred and venom and lies against him, and those lies will be believed by hundreds of millions. What is the measure of greatness in a man? Only the most vulgar and doctrinaire Democrat would seriously equate greatness with popularity, although in any polling of average citizens on their choice for the greatest man of the century, there are certain to be substantial numbers of votes for Elvis Presley, John Kennedy, Billy Graham, Michael Jackson, and various other high-visibility lightweights, charismatic entertainers on the stage of politics, rock concerts, spectator sports, or what have you. More serious citizens would pass by the lightweights and choose men who have changed the world in some way. We would hear choices like Franklin Roosevelt, he saved the world from fascism, Albert Einstein, he taught us about the nature of our universe, and Martin Luther King, he helped us achieve racial justice. Depending upon whether one's personal inclinations lay more in the direction of politics, science, or racial self-abasement, respectively. But if the poll asked instead for the most evil man of the century or the most hated man or the man having the most negative influence, at least three-quarters of the blue-collar and the white-collar polies alike would name one man Adolf Hitler. This, however, would be merely a reflection of the role assigned to him by the controlled mass media, rather than a truly informed and reasoned choice. All of this raises several very interesting issues. There is, for example, the question of how we came to the preposterous state of affairs prevailing today, wherein we place the destiny of our nation, our planet, and our race in the hands of a mass of voters whose powers of judgment are manifested in such things as the type of television entertainment their preferences have pushed into prime time and the type of men they have elected to public office. And there is the equally weighty question of how, knowing the ease with which this mass is misled, we permitted virtually all of the media of mass information and entertainment to fall into the hands of a race whose interests are so diametrically opposed to our own. Perhaps even more pertinent to a consideration of human greatness, however, is the question of how our system of values came to be turned on its head so that Franklin Roosevelt is regarded as a hero and Adolf Hitler as a villain, not only by the stolid and stunned masses, but also by a majority of the supposedly educated elite, many of whom pride themselves on their intellectual independence. Whether we judge the greatness of a man by his intrinsic qualities of character and soul, or by his accomplishments, Adolf Hitler had greatness of a very high order, if we use the standards which have been traditional in our race. We cannot, of course, make comparisons with all the mute, inglorious Miltons, whose lack of notable accomplishment has made them anonymous, despite the sterling inner qualities they may have possessed. But when Hitler's character is held up beside those of other 20th century political leaders, he stands as a giant among pygmies. At the prosaic level, we can note his ascetic personal habits compared with Winston Churchill's habitual drunkenness and notorious self-indulgence, or his personal loyalty to those who had been his comrades in the days of political struggle compared with Joseph Stalin's habit of murdering his former comrades by the dozen as potential rivals as soon as he no longer needed their services, or his direct, frank, and straightforward manner compared to the cunning deviousness which was Franklin Roosevelt's trademark. At the spiritual level, the inner differences between Hitler and his contemporaries are even more striking. Hitler was a man with a mission from the beginning. The testimony of his closest associates from his boyhood days to the end of his life agrees with the observations of more distant and impartial observers. Hitler had a mystical sense of destiny, a sense of having been singled out and called by a higher power to devote his life to the service of his race. His childhood companion, August Kubizek, has related extraordinary evidence of this when Hitler was only 16 years old. 20 years later, while he was in prison after an unsuccessful attempt to overthrow the government, Hitler himself wrote of his motivation in a way which suggested the range of his vision. Quote, "What we must fight for is the security of the existence and reproduction of our race and our people, the sustenance of our children, and the maintenance of the purity of our blood, so that our people may mature for the fulfillment of the mission allotted them by the Creator of the universe." Every thought and every idea, every doctrine and all knowledge must serve this purpose, and everything must be examined from this point of view and used or rejected according to its utility. Then no theory will stiffen into a dead doctrine, since it is life alone that all things must serve. The National Socialist philosophy finds the importance of mankind in its basic racial elements. In the state, it sees on principle a means to an end and construes that end as the preservation of the racial existence of man. And so the National Socialist philosophy of life corresponds to the innermost will of nature, since it restores that free play of forces which must lead to a continuous mutual higher breeding until finally the best of humanity, having achieved possession of this earth, will have a free play for activity in domains which will lie partly above it and partly outside it. We all sense that in the distant future, humanity must be faced by problems which only a highest race, become master people and supported by the means and possibilities of an entire globe, will be equipped to overcome. Thus, the highest purpose of a National Socialist state is concern for the preservation of those original racial elements which bestow culture and create the beauty and dignity of a higher mankind. We, as Aryans, can conceive of the state only as the living organism of a nationality, which not only assures the preservation of this nationality, but by the development of its spiritual and ideal abilities, leads it to the highest freedom. A National Socialist state must begin by raising marriage from the level of a continuous defilement of the race and give it the consecration of an institution which is called upon to produce images of the Lord and not monstrosities halfway between man and ape. It must set race in the center of all life. It must take care to keep it pure. It must declare the child to be the most precious treasure of the people. It must see to it that only the healthy beget children. The National Socialist state must make certain that by a suitable education of youth, it will someday obtain a race ripe for the last and greatest decisions on this earth. Anyone who wants to cure this era, which is inwardly sick and rotten, must first summon the courage to make clear the causes of this disease. And this should be the concern of the National Socialist movement, pushing aside all narrow-mindedness, to gather and to organize from the ranks of our nation those forces capable of becoming the vanguard fighters for a new philosophy of life. We are not simple enough to believe that it could ever be possible to bring about a perfect era. But this relieves no one of the obligation to combat recognized errors, to overcome weaknesses, and to strive for the ideal. Harsh reality of its own accord will create only too many limitations. For that very reason, however, man must try to serve the ultimate goal, and failures must not deter him any more than he can abandon a system of justice because mistakes creep into it, or any more than medicine is discarded because there always will be sickness in spite of it. We National Socialists know that with this conception, we stand as revolutionaries in the world of today and are branded as such. But our thoughts and actions must in no way be determined by the approval or disapproval of our time, but by the binding obligation to a truth which we have recognized. End quote. Hitler's opponents, Churchill and Roosevelt, were party politicians with the minds and souls of party politicians. Great impersonal goals, just as truth, meant nothing at all to them. The only thing that counted was the approval or disapproval of their times. The outcome of the next election, a good press clack, votes. Only Stalin shared in any way Hitler's disdain for approval. Only Stalin was motivated to any degree by an impersonal idea. But the idea that Stalin served was the alien, destructive idea of Jewish Marxism. And while Hitler served the life force with the instincts of a seer, Stalin served Marxism with the instincts of a bureaucrat and a butcher. A comparison of careers leads us to a similar ranking of greatness of soul. Churchill and Roosevelt were born into the political establishment. They fed at the public trough for years, in one office after another, grabbing greedily at opportunities for a bigger serving of swill. But it was circumstance, not their own efforts, which thrust them onto the stage of world history. Stalin hacked out his own niche in history to a much greater extent than his Western allies, and he was an incomparably stronger man than either of them. He was tough, ruthless, infinitely cunning, and utterly determined to prevail, no matter what the obstacles. Even so, his struggle for prominence and power was entirely within the Bolshevik Party and its predecessors. He was the consummate bureaucratic infighter, not the innovator or the lone pioneer. Only Adolf Hitler started literally from nothing, and through the exercise of a superhuman will, created the physical basis for the realization of his vision. In 1918, recovering in a veterans' hospital from a British poison gas attack, he made the decision to enter politics in order to serve that vision. He was a 29-year-old invalid with no money, no family, no friends or connections, no university education, and no experience. Liberals, Jews, and communists ruled his country, making him and all those to whom he might appeal for support outsiders. 5½ years later, he was sentenced to 5 years in prison for his political activity, and his enemies thought that was the end of him and his movement. But less than 9 years after being sentenced, he was Chancellor of Germany, with the strongest and most progressive nation in Europe at his command. He had built the National Socialist Movement and led it to victory over the organized opposition of the entire establishment, conservatives, liberals, communists, Jews, and Christians. He then transformed Germany, lifting it out of its economic depression, while Americans, under Roosevelt, continued to line up at the soup kitchens, restoring its spirit and much of the territory which had been taken from it by the victors of the First World War, stimulating its artistic and scientific creativity, and winning the admiration, or in some cases, the envy and hatred of other nations. It was an achievement hardly paralleled in the history of the world. Even those who do not understand the real significance of his creation must concede that. And what was the real significance of Hitler's work? One of his most earnest admirers in India, Savitri Devi, has given us a poetic answer to that question. She wrote, quote, "In its essence, the National Socialist idea exceeds not only Germany in our times, but the Aryan race and mankind itself and any epoch. It ultimately expresses that mysterious and unfailing wisdom according to which nature lives and creates, the impersonal wisdom of the primeval forest and of the ocean depth and of the spheres in the dark fields of space. And it is Adolf Hitler's glory not merely to have gone back to that divine wisdom, stigmatizing man's silly infatuation for intellect, his childish pride in progress, and his criminal attempt to enslave nature, but to have made it the basis of a practical regeneration policy of worldwide scope precisely now in our overcrowded, over-civilized, and technically over-evolved world at the very end of the Dark Age." End quote. More prosaically, Hitler's work, in contrast to that of his contemporaries, was above politics, above economics, above nationalism. He had mobilized a powerful, modern state and placed it at the service of our race so that our race might become fit to serve as an agent of the life force. Perceptive and idealistic young men from every nation in Europe and from many nations outside Europe as well, recognized this significance, and they flocked to serve him and to fight for his cause, even at the cost of censure and ostracism from their more parochial and narrow-minded countrymen. There was never before an elite fighting force to match the SS, which, by the end of the Second World War, had more non-Germans than Germans in it. The war, of course, is counted as Hitler's great failure, even as the proof of his lack of greatness by his detractors. It merely proves that he was a man, not a god, even if a divine will worked through him, and that he could not perform miracles. He could not defend himself forever, with the governments of nearly the whole world allied in a total war to pull him down and destroy his creation so that they and the interests they served could return to business as usual. Even so, he gave a far better account of himself than any of his adversaries. And what will count in the long run in determining Adolf Hitler's stature is not whether he lost or won the war, but whether it was he or his adversaries who were on the side of the life force, whether it was he or they who served the cause of truth and human progress. We only have to look around us today to know it was not they.
You're listening to Resolution Radio.
ResolutionRDO.com.
This is the Justice Report weekly recap for April 15th to 20th, 2024. Today's story: an unhinged GOP senator encourages violence to put an end to pro-Palestine protests. Little Rock, Arkansas. U.S. Senator Tom Cotton, Republican, appeared to encourage American drivers to put an end to pro-Palestine protests by violently removing crowds that block traffic. The Ghoulish Post is just the latest bit of rabidly pro-Israel chatter emerging from mainstream Republicans and comes as Zionist sympathies continue to plummet worldwide. Senator Cotton made the statement to X, formerly Twitter, on Monday. At the time of press, it had quickly reached an audience of 3.4 million viewers. In it, Cotton encouraged drivers who get stuck in traffic behind, quote, pro-Hamas mobs to resort to vigilante justice in order to remove them. I encourage people who get stuck behind the pro-Hamas mobs blocking traffic. Take matters into your own hands to get them out of the way, said Cotton in a Ghoulish Post. It's time to put an end to this nonsense. While advocating for violence against peaceful demonstrators might appear shocking, so too is Cotton's hypocrisy. The Arkansas politician once publicly condemned citizens for doing the same thing in 2017. In the aftermath of the Unite the Right rally in Charlottesville, Virginia, Cotton referred to the rally's nearly 300 First Amendment-protected attendees as contemptible little men. After James Fields, a driver who was also stuck in traffic behind protesters, was forced to accelerate his vehicle into a crowd of heavily armed Antifa who had him surrounded.
Today's story: racism declared after 2024's Black Spring Break results in 60 arrests. Biloxi, Mississippi. A popular beach spot erupted in chaos last weekend during Biloxi's annual Black Spring Break event, resulting in roughly 60 arrests, according to authorities. The miniature crime surge is said to have sparked accusations of racism after police were suddenly embroiled in dozens of drug and gun incidents. Biloxi's Black Spring Break, an annual tourist destination for many Black Americans seeking good vibes, is said to have culminated in a grand total of 61 drug and 31 gun incidents, According to Biloxi Police Chief John Miller, one incident even stemmed from a black attendee possessing an illegal gun, Switch, which allows for fully automatic fire on Tuesday. The report stated that, in total, the three-day-long celebration of people of color generated a whopping 740 calls for police service, which included one report of a man wandering the beach with a gun. "Some of this is spring breakers calling us," Miller said in a request for comment by the Sun-Herald. "It's not just us. It's all across the country."
Today's story. Police arrest a black ex-convict for anti-white stabbing attack a few blocks from the White House. Washington, D.C. A man was viciously stabbed in the neck in a McDonald's restaurant located in our nation's capital on Tuesday. For the crime, police arrested a black ex-convict who reportedly shouted that he hated white people before the attack. According to reports, authorities with the D.C. Metropolitan Police Department were called around 6:15 p.m. to a McDonald's after several victims complained about a man brandishing a knife. Per witnesses, the suspect had yelled that he wanted to kill everyone in the restaurant and that he hates white people, specifically. When one bystander attempted to intervene, police say the suspect, identified as 63-year-old Reginald Pickett, plunged a knife into the man's neck, sending him to the hospital in an unknown condition. The restaurant was located in the 1200 block of New York Avenue, only two blocks away from the White House. Pickett, who is black, was quickly arrested and now faces charges of assault with a dangerous weapon. Due to the racial dynamics at play, the MPD confirmed that it is investigating the attack as an anti-white hate crime. While there are few details surrounding the suspect at this time, an independent justice report investigation has confirmed that Plinkett is a violent ex-convict who had already been released from prison following an attempted murder conviction in 1997. According to court documents, Plinkett was identified as the 35-year-old leader of a gang of teenage criminals who violently attacked Donald Hester on June 11, 1996. The documents state that Plinkett had stabbed Hester, this time at a McDonald's in Maryland, during a botched robbery attempt. Years later, Plinkett would once again be implicated in violent crime, this time for the alleged stabbing of a white man for his race at the heart of neoliberal empire. For more news like this, visit justicereport.news and subscribe to our Telegram, Substack, and Odyssey to keep up to date on all the latest headlines from around the world. Become a paid supporter and gain access to our full archive of audio articles. And enjoy the Justice Report on the go.
Attention patriots, tired of the tyranny and crime in the sanctuary cities? Flee the city and seek refuge in the American Redoubt. FleeTheCity.com. Move to the freedom of Idaho, Montana, or Wyoming. FleeTheCity.com. FleeTheCity.com.
Thanks for listening to Project Schoolyard Volume 2. For more information about the project, as well as lyric to the songs on this CD, please visit www.tightrope.cc. You can also find jokes, news articles, a photo gallery, free CD downloads, and a secure online shopping cart. We carry a full line of flags, t-shirts, CDs, books, stickers, and other products of interest to racially conscious white people. Please visit www.tightrope.cc.
Listen, do you hear that sound? It started low, but it's getting progressively louder. Into a crescendo, even louder. Irresistible, ending in an ear-splitting blast of mass disruption. That's the sound of America's economic and political systems crashing to the ground. But we have a plan. We will be ready to restore political sanity. We will be ready to answer the call of productive America. We will restore America's industrial base and put America back to work. We will shut down political correctness and restore decency and positive media to America. We will save our Constitution, our traditional way of life, our customs, and religion. We will restore sound money and crush the debt-based system of monetary slavery. And we will end America's foreign misadventures. We are the American Freedom Party, and we have a plan. Learn more about us, the American Freedom Party. US.
By now you know that wireless technology like cell phones do in fact pose dangers to the health and privacy of everyone. Lockit Pocket's wide range of products are unmatched in providing the protection you deserve. No scare tactics, just common sense. LockitPocket.com offers quality American-made options to alleviate and eliminate these invisible dangers. Learn more at LockitPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. LockitPocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.